now listening to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show from Indianapolis, the city of motorsports.
Good morning, race fans, and welcome back to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. Always joining me in the studio is my co-host, Hank Williams Jr.'s long-lost relative, Jeremiah Penrod. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. How about that new intro, y'all?
Oh, yeah, it was pretty awesome, yeah. Money for Nothing by Dire Straits. The guitar solo kills it, especially with the intro. I wanted to put that with the NASCAR sound effects, put it together. Sounds absolutely spectacular. Let Big Nelly cook. That's all I have to say. Let me work, guys.
Burns stuff occasionally, but yeah, this one was right there where it needed to be. Never undercooked.
Never undercooked. Want to make a great new intro for you listeners. Thought it was time to switch things up, and I got inspiration from that intro. I'm seeing a Dale Earnhardt Sr. It was like some Instagram reel, and he said, I'm going to put Jeff Gordon in the wall, and then it's played Money for Nothing by Dire Straits right after. Like, that sounds pretty awesome. I'm incorporating that in my show intro, so sounded pretty awesome. So, yeah. All righty, let's dive into your NASCAR news.
Texas Motor Speedway.
Yep.
Struck again.
Yep, exactly. With the NASCAR Cup Series racing yesterday, and that race was the most caution-filled race for the NASCAR Cup Series at Texas Motor Speedway. Wow. Unbelievable how many cautions there were, overtime restarts. I mean, the most cautions for the NASCAR Cup Series.
And flying tires.
Yeah, in Texas Motor Speedway's history. And it wasn't just the NASCAR Cup Series race that was exciting. The Xfinity Series race was exciting as well, which we'll get into later in the show. And the Craftsman Truck Series race put on a good show as well. Wasn't as caution-filled as the NASCAR Cup Series with the NASCAR Xfinity Series. So the young guns in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series really racing very well and not causing a lot of wrecks. Which they had a few incidents, but, I mean, it's racing. You're gonna have that. But let's dive into the important news. The kid from Dawsonville, Georgia, snaps a 42-race winless streak. 28-year-old Chase Elliott. And also taking the Hooters car to victory lane. Awesome. Spectacular.
We all know it's just for the wings. It's just for the wings.
More importantly, it's a throwback to Alan Kulwicki, which Alan Kulwicki, rest in peace, first driver owner to win a NASCAR Cup Series championship in 1992. Wasn't on wins, it was on consistency, and that's what got it done for Alan Kulwicki, and that's how the Hooters car became very popular, is because of Alan Kulwicki. So that was awesome to see. From a NASCAR fan standpoint, to see that car back in victory lane that Alan Kulwicki made famous in the NASCAR Cup Series. So that was absolutely spectacular. After all of the trials and tribulations that Chase Elliott has gone through, you look at the 2023 season, that was a rough season. He injured his shoulder in a skiing accident in Colorado, had to have surgery. And he tried to make the playoffs in 2023 when he came back. Almost made it. Didn't quite have enough points to make the round of 16 for the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. But things are on the up and up for that 9 team. Alan Gustafson, Chase Elliott. They've got the ball rolling early this season. Seen a lot of speed out of that 9 car. It's just amazing to see NASCAR's most popular driver having success.
Basically, what we're saying is keep up the good work, buddy.
Keep up the good work, Chase Elliott.
Don't we have something special today?
Yeah, we do have something a little special today. We have an interview with Regan Smith and Chase Elliott following Chase Elliott's victory at Texas Motor Speedway. This is credited to Fox Sports. So you're about to hear an interview with Regan Smith, Chase Elliott, and I'm getting this from Fox Sports. So we're going to cue it up right now.
We see the look of relief on Chase Elliott's face. The 42-race drought is over. You drove intensely today. You did everything just right. How does it feel?
Oh, man, it couldn't feel any better. First off, thanks to everybody that came out today. You guys are unbelievable. Hooters has been a partner of ours for a number of years now, and it's been a dream of mine to pay respect to the late Alan Kowicki and driving this car to a victory and being able to do a Polish victory lap and really crazy how things, you know, came full circle there in that moment. It was pretty emotional for me. Just, you know, he beat Dad back in the day, and here we are, you know, sharing, you know, his sponsor and having an opportunity to win today. So just, man, couldn't be more grateful for this journey and kind of the path that, you know, hasn't always been fun, but, you know, certainly have enjoyed working with our guys. We've been just working really hard and really well together. And like I said, it hadn't always been fun, but we've enjoyed the fight together.
You mentioned you guys have been fighting together. Today, it was a fight on the racetrack all day long. That race looked like it was crazy to drive. How intense was it on the track with all the slipping and slide?
Yeah, it was just crazy. This place is just so, you know, so sketchy. And you know, I haven't seen a replay of, you know, of Denny. And that's, I don't really know. I didn't feel like I did anything super crazy there any more than anybody's ever done to me. Just had the run forward, and I want to look at it, but I didn't feel like I did anything to crash him. I think just the circumstances, but nonetheless, apologies to him if so, but couldn't be more proud of our team. Thanks to you know, our partners at Napa and Chevrolet, everybody. Hendrick Motorsports had a big week last week. Boss, thank you. Thank you for sticking with me, and just really, really proud of this, and appreciate all the folks back home that have stuck with me and helped us get back on track.
Chase Elliott, your winner in Texas.
Indeed, he was.
Yeah, yeah. It was definitely a sketchy day at Texas Motor Speedway. I'd like to mention again the most cautions in a NASCAR Cup Series race in Texas Motor Speedway history, people. So I want to throw that out there again. It was sketchy, sketchy, sketchy.
Throw in another one, just in case the people in the back didn't hear.
Let's go over the top 10 results from Texas Motor Speedway yesterday. Chase Elliott picking up the win, ends that 42-race winless streak. Brad Keselowski finishing second. Best run for that sixth group this season. Man, he had a shot to win that race. Just doesn't have the speed compared to Hendrick Motorsports and Joe Gibbs Racing. The RFK cars are still lacking behind in some speed, but they flipped the strategy. They had fresher tires compared to the rest of the field at the end of that race, but just the tires were starting to fall off, and, you know,
they flew.
Speed with your tires are totally different things. I mean, obviously, you're going to be fast on fresh tires. Every car is. But once that grip falls off, then the teams that have more funding are faster on paper. It outweighs, it all levels out with the tire grip falling off, and eventually you're, you know, back to square one of speed in your car. But he came home second. I know, people, if you're big Mark Martin fans, Jack Roush fans, it's painful to not see the sixth car back in victory lane, but it's coming. It is going to happen. Eventually, that sixth car will get back to victory lane, and that would be a great day for everyone in NASCAR to see that car back in victory lane because of how famous Mark Martin made that number with all the success he had. Third, William Byron. Controversial end to that race with William Byron and Ross Chastain, which we will get into later in the show. Fourth, Tyler Reddick had speed all day, looked really quick, led some laps. Fifth, Daniel Suarez, great result for him in Trackhouse Racing. Kind of struggled a little bit of late after he picked up the win at Atlanta Motor Speedway, but finding some pace, and both Trackhouse cars looked very fast here at Texas Motor Speedway. Sixth, Chase Briscoe. He was also involved in an earlier incident with Bubba Wallace Jr., and he came home to finish sixth. Him and Bubba Wallace were on the front row, and they made contact. And Texas Motor Speedway is notorious. If you get way too high and out of the groove, you're going to spin out. And that's just what we've seen time and time again as the years have gone by of races at Texas Motor Speedway with all three series, that you get out of the groove and up towards the wall, especially one and two and three and four as well, you're going to spin out.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. This is a crazy sport.
Yep. Seventh, Darrell Wallace Jr. Eighth, Austin Dillon. Great result for him. And Richard Childress Racing in that three group. They have struggled to start their 2024 campaign. Ninth, Kyle Busch. It's been an up-and-down season for Kyle Busch. Hopefully he can get things turned around. We could see that eight car back in victory. That'd make me very happy. And the rookie for Spire Motorsports, Carson Hocevar, picks up his first career top 10 in the NASCAR Cup Series. Congrats. Qualified very well and picked up a top 10. Fought all day long and helped with all the other cars crashing. But
probably, yeah.
But he stuck in it the whole entire way and picked up a nice top 10.
About how many crashes were there?
I think there was over 12. I'm pretty sure there was over 12.
That's usually where people lose track.
I'd like to go over some notable mentions from that race. 21st was Kyle Larson. Had the fastest car, it looked like, from the start of the green flag. And he won stage one. Things were looking great. He qualified on pole for the third race in a row. Kyle Larson has really been strong when it's come to qualifying. Really stepping his game up. Maybe
that's a really fast car.
Maybe to step up when it comes to the Indianapolis 500.
Or Talladega.
I'm going to say the Indy 500. But, you know, Talladega is next weekend. We'll preview that later. But really needs to step it up when it comes to qualifying, especially at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway during speed weeks for the Indianapolis 500, because those cars are totally different compared to driving a stock car with fenders and weighs twice as much. So that could be a result of Kyle Larson really getting some laps in any car, just stepping up his overall speed, intensity, focus, and energy into qualifying, which is great.
Yeah, open wheel is a whole different ball game.
Exactly. 26 was Zane Smith, rookie for Spire Motorsports. Looked very fast in the top five after stage two, was competing with the big dogs at Joe Gibbs Racing and Hendrick Motorsports and Ross Chastain of Trackhouse Racing, looking very fast. Just later stage of that race got the better of him. 28th was Harrison Burton for Wood Brothers Racing. He led some laps. Looked very competitive when he was leading. Had some speed in that 21 Ford Mustang. Just didn't come together. 29th was Jimmy Johnson, the seven-time NASCAR Cup Series champion, making a start at Texas Motor Speedway. Going to make a couple more starts later in the season. 30th, Denny Hamlin. Him and Chase, like you mentioned in that interview, they didn't make contact, just the air came off the front nose for Denny Hamlin, and he was up in the groove, and three and four, and around he went. It's just a racing incident at Texas Motor Speedway. And then Ross Chastain crashing out in the final caution of the race with contact with William Byron, which was a little bit of, I'm going to say, controversy. Just, I think the contact was very unnecessary, but they're going for it. They're going for every position. They have to get on the racetrack. We're coming to the white flag. Got to do what you got to do. But Ross Chastain, him and Chase Elliott were duking it out. They were duking it out in those final laps. And, man, it's just unfortunate. It's just unfortunate because that car was so quick all day long. And just to see it finish in last place after being very competitive all day long, it just stinks.
It always hurts.
Yeah. But this upcoming news is the William Byron and Ross Chastain incident. This is what William Byron had to say on it. Let me get over here. Yeah, this is what... Yeah, so here we go. We're coming to the final lap and coming off of turns one and two. Down the back straightaway, William Byron's a big run and gets in the back of Ross Chastain, and Ross Chastain spins out and wrecks. This is what William Byron had to say on it. I didn't want to do that to anyone, but I was just far enough inside that I was there. I had a run, and it's the last lap. We always raced really well, so I didn't want to do that to him. Unfortunately, just kind of came together there. Nothing you can really do about it. It's just racing. I had a run, I was there, and it happened. So that's what William Byron's comments are on the incident. And
bit of a matter-of-fact-like statement. Yeah. Just like, hey, it happens.
Exactly. Exactly. You are listening to WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis, the All Gas and No Brakes radio show.
Just in case you forgot.
Yeah, I've got to get that legal in, of course. This is some interesting news. So Chase Elliott ends his 42-race winless streak at Texas Motor Speedway. But this happened 10 years ago in 2014. Chase Elliott captured his first NASCAR Xfinity Series race win. Do you want to guess where?
Texas.
Texas Motor Speedway, yeah. So it all is coming full circle for Chase Elliott.
Little circles, they go round and round.
Which in that 2014 NASCAR Xfinity Series season, once Chase Elliott picked up that win at Texas Motor Speedway, it was off to the races for him. The success he had in 2014 went on to win the NASCAR Xfinity Series Championship, and now he ends his 42-race winless streak at Texas Motor Speedway. I think that's a great story.
Is that a pun?
What?
Off to the races?
No, I just said it. It was not a pun, but...
Hidden pun there for you guys. Unintentional.
Very unintentional. Anyways. But I just thought that was great news to share, and it was very interesting because I remember watching that race live in 2014. Man, that was 10 years ago. Jeez, I'm old.
Yeah.
18 years old. Man, time has flown by. But it was only in his sixth NASCAR Xfinity Series start that Chase Elliott picked up that win at Texas in 2014. Had to duke it out with 2014 NASCAR Cup Series champion Kevin Harvick. Kevin Harvick wasn't going to back down easy, and that was when Kevin Harvick was racing for Junior Motorsports and the NASCAR Xfinity Series. That's how long ago it was.
I remember when I heard Harvick pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm that old.
Yeah, it was...
I can remember that.
Yeah, I know. And that was when he was with Stuart Haas Racing. Mm-hmm. They were driving for Chevrolet before they switched to Ford. Yeah, that was...
Big mistake, in my opinion.
But, yeah, it's just been a...
I kind of did the opposite. I just switched from Ford to Chevy recently, and it's been nice.
It's been nice. It's been very nice. We're going to move on to some NASCAR Xfinity Series news. You thought the NASCAR Cup Series race was crazy. This race was even crazier. Sam Mayer picked up his first win of the 2024 season against Ryan Sieg. It wasn't just, you know, your average finish. The finish between Sam Mayer and Ryan Sieg, 0.002 seconds, tied for the second closest finish in NASCAR Xfinity Series history, which was last Saturday.
The first one being from the Cars movie, of course.
But wow, it was I watched the highlights of that race. It was a great race. It was spectacular. Man, it's just heartbreaking for Ryan Sieg and Ryan Sieg Racing. It's very heartbreaking. Man, he's came close so many times to picking up that first NASCAR Xfinity Series win. And they're a small team. I mean, they're not super small, but they're nothing compared to Joe Gibbs Racing, Stuart Haas Racing, Junior Motorsports. They're not on that level. They have that
et cetera.
They have that affiliation with Stuart Haas Racing, and their cars have definitely seen improvement with that affiliation with Stuart Haas Racing. Those Ford Mustangs are pretty fast. He just didn't luck into this, finishing second in this race. He was in the top 10 the majority of the day, and Ryan Sieg had speed. Ryan Sieg, your first win's coming, bud. It's gonna happen very soon. If we hit another mile and a half, you're gonna have pace. That was a lot of pace there at Texas Motor Speedway. It was quick. It's a great race for that group, but man, Sam Mayer just edged him out by 0.002 seconds. Junior Motorsports was fast all day long. Justin Allgaier swept both stages for Junior's Motorsports in that 7 Chevrolet. But he's had not a lot of success that when he sweeps both stages, he doesn't go on to win the race.
Yeah.
He's only done that 2 times in his NASCAR Xfinity Series career. So he's done it a bunch of times. It's just
perhaps a different strategy is required.
Maybe.
Plus, with these bigger tracks, you need both speed and stamina to keep your spot. For some of the smaller tracks, you just got to keep, just consistency in your spot.
Yep.
Because there's bound to be someone to mess up within those because it's, smaller tracks. There's not a lot of room for error. And once you make one, people can easily exploit those. So
yep.
Smaller tracks, it's just in-the-moment strategies.
And it also, Texas Motor Speedway, if this is any indication of what we're going to see later in the fall.
Talladega
is next weekend. Man, we're going to be in for a treat come playoff time for the NASCAR Cup Series, Xfinity Series, and Craftsman Truck
Series. We will
be
immediately playing Eric Church Talladega, no matter the outcome of Talladega. Why?
Because
Talladega.
Yep, exactly. We're going to go over the top 10 from the NASCAR Xfinity Series race at Texas Motor Speedway. Andy's Frozen Custard 300. I've had Andy's Frozen Custard.
I have not. Is it good?
I don't think there's one in Indiana. I'm not 100% sure. I know when I was in the St. Louis area, my mom and her fiance and I went, and I tried it. It was pretty good. It's more west. You can find it in the south as well. I can compare it to Dairy Queen. That's like what I can compare it to, but it's pretty good. So, And we're going to go over the top 10 here. First was Sam Mayer. Second, Ryan Sieg. Third, Justin Allgaier. Fourth, AJ Allmendinger. Fifth, Cole Custer. He rocked in a beautiful paint scheme. And Andy's Frozen Custard paint scheme. It was bright blue, bright red, bright colors. I love the paint scheme.
Very bright.
The trophy for Sam Mayer was a big ice cream cone with ice cream on it.
That's awesome.
I thought that was pretty awesome. Pretty spectacular. I've not seen a trophy as cool as that if you compare to the Bristol Motor Speedway trophies that the drivers receive after they win with the I remember when Bass Pro Shops was sponsoring. Then the drivers also get a sword for winning the race. I think that's pretty awesome. It's like Martinsville grandfather clock. It's kind of one of those unique trophies that it's not like any other race.
I might have to do some of this just to get a couple of them trinkets.
Sixth, Austin Hill. Seventh, Ryan Truex. Eighth, Sammy Smith. Ninth, Justin Love. And 10th, AJ Allmendinger.
Wait.
What?
Didn't you say the dinger twice?
No, I said Anthony Alfredo. Oh, yeah, I think I did. Anthony Alfredo in 10th. So I might have said
Hang on.
I don't remember.
I know because you said the dinger up a little bit higher, I think.
Yeah, he was in 4th.
Yeah. Because I remembered, I was thinking about commenting the dinger, and then he moved on. And then
I said Justin Love is Jesse Love. Oh my gosh, what is going on with me? Lack of sleep, people. Jesse Love 9th and 10th, and Anthony Alfredo. So that's going to round out the top 10 here at Texas Motor Speedway in the NASCAR Xfinity Series.
Sorry, folks.
Yeah. I think we're going to take a quick 30-second break here on the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show, and we'll be right back to discuss some IndyCar news.
This conversation could save the life of a loved one.
Dad, so sorry.
Come here. Are you okay?
No.
You've seemed pretty down lately. Have you been thinking about taking your life?
Today, teens are at increased risk for experiencing anxiety and depression, and finding mental health support has become even more challenging. Get help at mylifeisworthliving.org/help and check out our YouTube channel for the first animated series about teen mental health.
Welcome back to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. Joining the studio, as always, with Mr. Jeremiah Penrod. It's currently 8:09 here in Indianapolis, Indiana. Let's dive in.
We're working on our headphone dents.
Yep, exactly. It's time to dive into some IndyCar news. I have some exciting news. No. Get this, people. Get this. A new IndyCar team is set to join the grid in 2025.
Are they getting new chassis?
We don't know about that yet. Maybe. We'll see. I know, Mr. Penrod. I know.
We've been bugged about this.
Yeah, we've been begging. We've been begging. A lot of fans have been begging, but no, unfortunately, there have not been any recent news on...
Your teams have been begging.
Yep, on new chassis, but they're still doing testing with the hybrid engine. We'll see how that continues.
I don't even care if you keep the same engine. Just get them new chassis. Yeah, well, yeah. They've had the same ones
since 2012. 12 years. Over a decade.
The only update you've done to it was, like, what, 8 years ago?
Yep. Something like that. But, you know.
Just get them new ones soon, please.
I know, Mr. Penrod. It's very...
They're going to keep wrecking.
It's very... I know. I don't know necessarily about wrecking, but, I mean, it's very unfortunate.
Feel all the bumps.
Yeah, it's... Yep. Well...
Anyways.
Here we go. Let's get back to it. New IndyCar team set to join the grid in 2025. Prema to join IndyCar Series in 2025. I'm getting this article from motorsport.com. Joey Barnes... And let's dive right into it. Prema is one of the most successful Junior Formula One programs in history with 80 titles. And will be fielding two full-time IndyCar drivers in 2025 with Chevy Power. And attempting to make their first Indianapolis 500 in 2025.
We'll be looking forward to that.
Here's some notable names that have came out of the Prema camp. Prema was founded in 1983. And here are just some names that, you know, just some casual names here. 1997 Formula One World Champion and 1995 Indianapolis 500 winner Jax Villeneuve. Yeah, his name doesn't mean anything.
Just casually.
Yeah, casually throwing out there that Prema's had successful drivers in the past. We're just gonna, you know, we're just gonna keep going here. Current IndyCar drivers: Ryan Briscoe, he's a former driver. Felix Rosenquist, Marcus Armstrong, and Callum Ilott have all been a part of Prema's Junior Formula One teams.
Just some casual names. Definitely haven't heard any of those.
Yep, exactly. Which I know Prema is definitely in Formula Two. I believe they're in Formula Three as well.
I didn't know there was any.
Yeah, there's
further than one.
Yeah, there's Formula 3, Formula 2, Formula 1, then you have your more junior series below Formula 3.
More you know.
Yeah. Here's some more notable names here. The Formula 1 grid has 9 drivers that have came through Prema's junior teams. Charles Leclerc, it's a pretty big name.
Definitely know who that is.
Pretty big name. Drives for... Ferrari, that's
What's that?
The most successful team in Formula One history. Iconic name. Beautiful red car. Oscar Piastri for McLaren. Esteban Ocon for Alpine. And Pierre Gasly for Alpine as well. So that's very interesting. I wanted to throw that out there. Prema's IndyCar team will operate a facility in Indiana. And they're going to stay in Indiana. That's pretty awesome. And they're going to be partnering with Chevrolet for their start in the NTT IndyCar Series in 2025. So Chevy's adding another team to their
roster,
and I'm going to be supplying Prema. So that's pretty awesome.
Okay, so they got some names.
Yep,
they got their brand that they're going to be rocking. They have Indy as their main base.
Mm-hmm.
Which means they should be able to take all three of those things, go out to the Indy 500, and scout it out.
Yep. Yep.
Do that.
Do that.
If you're listening, just go ahead and do that.
I think it's awesome. It's great to see another team joining the NTT IndyCar Series, especially from Formula One, because the whole Andretti and Formula One incident, yeah. But now we're seeing... We are seeing a...
Brought it up.
Yeah, we are seeing a team that is a part of Formula 2 and Formula 3 that have had successful drivers come out of their camp to be race winners and win a championship in a Indianapolis 500 and Jukes Villeneuve. So that's pretty spectacular. This is on motorsport.com. More announcements will be made in due course regarding drivers, sponsors, and partners as the team will soon start preparations for the season ahead, setting up shop, cars, and equipment. So, NTT IndyCar Series fans or Prema fans, stay on the lookout for some news when it comes to drivers, sponsors, where the shop is going to be built in Indiana. Just look out for that news. Should be very exciting.
It would be cool.
What's up, buddy?
Is if they set up shop actually somewhere nearby and listen to the show.
That'd be pretty spectacular. That'd be awesome.
And then at some point, like, they just call in.
I'm down.
Just call in and then just have, like, an interview day, whatever. It's just like,
I might have to look into that. We might look into doing that,
like, yeah, in the last little bit,
yeah,
little stretch of the show,
yeah,
just like,
or just the beginning, and then like 15 minutes, and
we'll call them like after or something, and then see if we can't get some like interviews.
That'd be pretty spectacular.
That would be awesome.
We're gonna work hard on that. I've worked hard on emailing teams, drivers, reached out on social media.
See if we can't get a
call-in
interview.
See if we can get some call-in driver interviews. Hasn't really been successful, but we're just going to keep trying because we never give up, and we want to provide a great show to all of our listeners of the All Gas and No Brakes radio show.
Hey, it's free publicity.
Yeah. So here's some more news. Joseph Newgarden was fastest in the rain-shortened first day of Indianapolis 500 Open testing, which was last week, April 10th, I believe. I'm pretty sure. Let me go back in my calendar. It was last week for sure. They had open testing, and we're finally seeing IndyCars back at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway testing and going over 200 miles an hour. Fastest time of the day was by Joseph Newgarden, 228.811.
Nice.
Which was only a two-hour day of practice for the NTT IndyCar Series. Kyle Larson was second, and he put up a time of 226.384. So that's a positive for Kyle Larson. He's second in open test practice to an Indianapolis 500 champion. I know it's testing, and that doesn't really matter come race day, but it's still positives for Kyle Larson.
It at least gives the driver, the fans, and pretty much everybody else an idea of what the car is going or what the car should be doing.
Which they're the
driver, and what the car can then improve upon doing come race day. So it's a pretty good positive. Yeah,
when we get into May, and especially later in May, the miles per hour will definitely go up. So speed right now is not a big importance, I would say. I mean, you want to obviously be over 200 miles an hour for sure, but you're not trying to go almost 240 miles an hour at this moment. You're just trying to test.
I mean, unless you're Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, you're trying to test and see where your car is at, try some different setups, get comfortable. So that's,
you know. Wait. Imagine. Basically the same story of Ricky Bobby.
But just IndyCar?
Just as like IndyCar or F1.
Oh man, that'd be insane. I couldn't imagine a Formula One movie. I couldn't see that. That'd be so funny. I'd probably cry.
I want to go fast. Mm. All right, I'm done.
Oh man, no he. Oh man.
It's a little too fast there.
But yeah. Speaking of the Indianapolis 500, Sunday, May 26th, people. We're gonna be a month away soon, a couple weeks. Is it May yet? That's all I have to say. Is it May yet? I'm ready for it to be May. It's gonna be eventually.
It's gonna be May.
2008 Indianapolis 500 winner and six-time NTT IndyCar Series champion Scott Dixon was third quickest. He put in a 226.346. Moving on, Alex Palou, which he was last year's Indianapolis 500 pole sitter and two-time champion of the NTT IndyCar Series, was fourth quickest with 226.201. Colton Herta was fifth with a 225.907. Scott McLaughlin, Ed Carpenter, Kyle Kirkwood, Christian Rasmussen, and Felix Rosenquist rounds out the top 10 for open test practice for the NTT IndyCar Series. The next time that Kyle Larson will be on track, for all you Kyle Larson fans out there, will be opening practice for the Indianapolis 500 on Tuesday, May 14th. That'll be the next time Kyle Larson is on track in an IndyCar. To prepare Kyle Larson for his first attempt in the greatest spectacle in racing, he is working with 2013 Indianapolis 500 champion, NTT IndyCar Series champion, multiple race wins in IndyCar, and 2015 Rolex 24 winner, Tony Kanaan. He's a driver mentor for the Arrow McLaren team. I mean,
that name doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, that don't mean anything, right? But no, importantly, I mean, he's
just like Andretti. Doesn't mean anything.
But all I have to say is, I think Tony Kanaan is going to benefit Kyle Larson greatly as he prepares for his first attempt at the Indianapolis 500. I think it's going to be great for Kyle Larson, a mentor, a driver who's had multiple years of experience. He's been successful in IndyCar, has won the Indianapolis 500, has always been competitive when it comes to Indianapolis 500 with Tony Kanaan. We'll see how Tony Kanaan benefits Kyle Larson come the Indianapolis 500. It should be very exciting to see.
Mm-hmm.
Larson is the fifth driver to be attempting the double, which is 1,100 miles of where NASCAR Cup Series driver or NTT IndyCar Series driver attempts to run the Indianapolis 500 and then hop in a plane or helicopter and head to Charlotte Motor Speedway to race the Coca-Cola 600. That is endurance, attrition, a lot of time, energy, and training that has gone into drivers attempting this. Notable drivers, John Andretti, Kurt Busch, Robbie Gordon, and my favorite NASCAR driver of all time, Tony Stewart.
Stewart.
Kurt Busch was the most recent driver to do the double in 2014. And Tony Stewart in 2001 is the only driver to complete all 1,100 miles.
Wait, you said 2014.
Was the last time a driver has done the double.
Chase Elliott with his win.
Yeah.
And now his win in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
All of these little circles.
I know, just I know. Up. It's decades.
Just another link in the
loop, man. Another loop.
Another loop in the chain mail.
This is
so
this is interesting as well.
Might be something there. Just saying.
No driver has won in either race that has done the double ever. Closest was Tony Stewart. Because he completed all 1,100 miles. So
damn it.
That'd be pretty. I mean, It's hard. 1,100 miles. That's a lot of racing. That's a lot. But if I could pick any driver in NASCAR Cup Series to do it, it's Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson can drive anything.
Just give me a catheter.
But we'll see. We'll see how Kyle Larson does. If he can't win the Indianapolis 500, he's going to be fast. And the Coca-Cola 600, because Hendrick Motorsports always brings fast cars to Charlotte Motor Speedway. We'll move on to some more NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series news. This was from Friday's Craftsman Truck Series race at Texas Motor Speedway.
See if we can't get this done in 5 minutes.
Oh, we're going to get it.
Go.
Kyle Busch picked up his second win of the season in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. Has 5 starts to make this year, so he's 2 for 4. Has 1 more start to make. Will be at Darlington Raceway. 2nd, Corey Heim. 3rd, Nick Sanchez. 4th, Christian Eckes. 5th, Zane Smith. 6th, Daniel Dye. 7th, Taylor Gray. 8th, Tanner Gray. 9th, Stephen Parsons. And 10th, Chime Majeski for Thor Sport Racing. And the young guns of Corey Heim, Nick Sanchez, and Christian Eckes were keeping Kyle Busch honest all race long. He didn't run away with it, but he dominated when it came to leading laps. But on the restarts, these young gentlemen were trying to pass Kyle Busch and give him a run for his money. We're going to move on to some Formula One news. This is the recap from the Japanese Grand Prix, which was Sunday, April 7th. Max Verstappen picked up the win. 2nd, Sergio Perez. 3rd, Carlos Sainz. 4th, Charles Leclerc. 5th, Lando Norris. 6th, Fernando Alonso. 7th, George Russell. 8th, Oscar Piastri. 9th, Lewis Hamilton. And 10th, Yuki Tsunoda picked up a point in his home race.
Nice.
Pretty awesome.
It'd be better if it was a win.
Exactly. The next Formula One race will be the Chinese Grand Prix at the Shanghai International Circuit, Sunday, April 21st at 3 a.m. 3 a.m.
Ouch. Their time or ours?
3 a.m. our time. Yeah, so the next race for the NTT IndyCar Series is this Sunday. Will be the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach, April 21st at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. You can watch that on USA. And then the NASCAR Xfinity Series will be heading to Talladega Super Speedway Saturday, April 20th at 4 o'clock p.m. The AG Pro 300 will be racing 300 miles at the famous Talladega Super Speedway. And the Geico 500, 500 miles around Talladega Super Speedway, Sunday, April 21st at 3 o'clock p.m. And Jeremiah's looking really forward to this race. He's gonna have to tune into this race. So
I'm gonna have to watch Talladega Nights a couple times.
Gonna have to watch
before
it
before and after.
But Mr. Penrod, we're getting 2 minutes early, man, and that's gonna be
that's
All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. So
that's a new record. Nicely done.
Yeah, let's go, baby. Woo! Gotta give him a high five. We're normally run over. But yeah, I'd like to thank Jeremiah Penrod for always being a part of the show, always adding his comments, opinions, and feedback to what racing news has occurred. So thank you, sir.
It's sad that we live in an age where names don't mean anything.
It's okay. He is speaking about the Andretti incident, people, which was from months ago. But I think we need to cue that outro, people. This is what people are all talking about, is this outro. And let's get into this outro. Ladies and gentlemen, if you miss a live episode of the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show, that's okay, because you can go to audioboom.com. Just log onto a computer, iPad, iPhone, cell phone. Just log on and tune in to an episode you might have missed. The All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. The All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show is on every Monday morning from 7:45 to 8:30 a.m. For Jeremiah Pinron, for Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly, this has been an episode of the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show.